Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Curls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Bolton still ready. Ready to rise and take a magnificent mark.
50 from goal. Gets it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle.
He runs around and bombs a goal.
AFL Nation,
and we've come to the realisation that this footy club needed some fresh air from 2022 onwards. Our club hasn't performed anywhere near to the level that we would have liked for a whole heap of reasons, and I'm a key contributor to that, of course. And it's my view that the footy club needs to free itself from my shadow, in a sense.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AFL Nation on a night when the footy in Friday Night Footy has been well and truly overshadowed by a day of drama at Hawthorn, where one of the most successful coaches of all time, Alistair Clarkson, has confirmed he will not be coaching next year, despite the denial of media reports in the past 3 weeks. So much to talk about the future of Alistair Clarkson and whether he will coach again next year or the year after, where he might go, but also his legacy at Hawthorn and where this leaves Sam Mitchell. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. And by the way, Carlton and St Kilda meet on Friday Night Footy. Charlie Kerner is returning. We will get to that, but our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Let's get to the team first before we speak to Sam McClure and get the very latest out of what has happened. And he and Caroline Wilson, of course, have been part of this narrative, so can't wait to speak to Sam about all of that. Jared Healy, you've been talking about this issue with Sam and others over the last 3 weeks. Wow, welcome to you.
Never doubted him. he held fire under enormous pressure. I rang Lee Matthews today and he hadn't heard. And he was flabbergasted. Could not believe it, because on Tuesday night, I think we opened with, you can take it to the bank, Scoop. What are we taking to the bank this week? And no, he has prevailed. And I must admit, even under enormous pressure, he's never wavered. So he clearly knew something was going on and knew something was going on from a significant source. But it does feel like there's no footy on tonight. But ironically, one of these clubs may be getting coached by Clarko next year. Who knows what's going to unfold? But the one thing we do know is, unless it happens, don't believe it.
Dwayne Russell will be calling the footy alongside me this evening. Dwayne, great to have you with us on Friday Night Footy. You do think about the big media days, the big footy stories over the years when these things happen. I mean, it broke mid-morning, and you're stunned. I mean, I guess we partially knew the story a few weeks ago that his time at Hawthorn was going to end, but when it has escalated like this and there's been such derision around the reporting over it, it was still quite stunning, wasn't it?
Some of the biggest stories were about to talk about that have happened in decades past were genuine surprises. I shouldn't have been so surprised today. I mean, it was being reported. How can Caro and Sam McClure know more about Alistair Clarkson's future than Alistair Clarkson in some way? I mean, that's why am I so surprised? I shouldn't have been surprised. I should have known. Caro got one right earlier this year about what was happening at St Kilda and players that were apparently having meetings about whether they would miss due to the birth of children or not. Poo-pooed for that. Ended up being right. The journos, you know, not normally, they do get it right quite often. But no one barracks for the journo. No one barracks. There's been so many people kind of barracking for Hawthorn and Clarko and Sam Mitchell to get this right, because people barrack for Hawthorn. No one really wants the journo to be right. But in the end, we should have seen this coming, because we were told it was coming.
It's been interesting, though, the amount of other journos that have been savage in their criticism.
Well, it's not your story, Jared. You know, you've been in this game a long time. It's not your story. You kind of barrack it. Not true.
I left this man till last because he knows Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell better than certainly any of us, and as well as just about anyone. Jordan Lewis, four-time premiership player under Alistair Clarkson, now part of the media. What's your instant reaction before we dig deep into that? How did you feel when you heard the news?
A little bit like what you said to Dwayne as I was driving in here. I thought about you three gentlemen and how long you've been in the game, and you could certainly pinpoint the biggest stories that you've covered over your media careers, and this for me right now is clearly the biggest thing that's ever happened, not only in the media side, but certainly from my playing days. It was always a club of stability, always a club that protected a lot of the information that came out. And I suppose over the last 3 months, it has been a club that I didn't associate with information coming out so freely. And I suppose that added to it with Sam and Caroline breaking the story and releasing the story is Alistair coming out and speaking, Sam coming out and speaking and totally denying it and giving us their version of what happened. And that, for me and a lot of other people who have been in the company of those two men, trusted them on their word. And for today to happen and to understand that Clarko will coach the next four rounds, I think it was Dermot today that someone in that deal had shifted dramatically and not wanted to be there. And I think that's a big move that we didn't see coming, and that person told us that it wouldn't happen.
Seemed like the big shift was last week, though, when Clarko shifted his position Previously it was he coaches the ones, Sam coaches the twos, and then all of a sudden it was two hands on the tiller. But I thought that shift was so that the deal would be finalised and seen out to the end.
And I think my belief is the club thought that was the right way to do it, so they wouldn't effectively cross paths with Sam coaching Box Hill and Alistair coaching the side. So I think that you know, Clarko thought long and hard about it and just didn't think that it was going to happen, that he just couldn't see himself coaching the side with and knowing that Sam Mitchell was potentially going to take over the seat and he saw fit that he had to depart.
Given how passionate Clarko was, and he talked about marriage, which about consummating the marriage there, but he talked about the marriage, his analogy last week, and the passion of Sam Mitchell, and then you hear them again today.
In sickness and in health. That'll be quoted quite a while. We'll talk about that.
It makes it really hard to know quite who to believe and what to believe in the whole thing. But one man who has held firm has been Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age. As we lead into Sam, let's just have a listen to some of how this has played out publicly.
No one is allowed to talk about the fact that he might not be coached next year because there's $1 million contract up for grabs.
Yes.
Okay. So until that is formally worked out between all parties, he's going to be coaching next year. I am sitting here telling you he won't be.
Simple as that.
He won't be. And I'm happy night for a year if he does.
I'm told that during that meeting it became clear that Sam Mitchell would rather have clean air to have a fresh start next year without Alistair Clarkson by his side.
Is there any circumstance you can foresee in which you're coaching Hawthorn next year without Alistair at the club?
No. Everything we're planning right now, the so-called meeting that we had, which is one of a numerous amount of meetings that we have had and will continue to have, will be around planning for Clarko to coach next year, me to coach Box Hill.
I don't think it's in anyone's best interest for Hawthorn to look like they are pushing out arguably the greatest coach of all time. But I think that people at the club have come to the resolution that Alistair's time is up. Now, whether that's right or wrong is not up for me to say, and we'll see that in the fullness of time. Jared asked me last night whether I think Alistair Clarkson's going to be coach next year. My answer was no, and nothing has changed that.
Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age, joins us. Sammy, welcome to you. Do you feel vindicated?
Hello. Evening, boys. Oh, well, today's about a lot of people, and I am very much down on that list. It's more about, I think, the Hawthorn members today, and we've heard a lot on Talkback Radio how angry they are, and I was a little bit disappointed that the charade continued today at the press conference, mainly from the president, who's clearly now got egg on his face, but it was never going to work. And I think the club have handled it really poorly. You know, hopefully Alistair can be given the send-off that he probably deserves, but I think the raw truth of it is they've put their next coach in Sam Mitchell under a fair bit of pressure as well. But yeah, as the president put it today, boys, a momentous moment, he called it. I'm not sure I would have gone down that line, but it was certainly a significant day.
It was a big day, Scoopy. You've had a couple of big months. You've been under fire from a lot of quarters. You've held strongly, so I think you should be proud of yourself for doing that. But you mentioned the word charade, and that's a strong word. Tell me, was it 100% a charade, or did the meeting that you discussed today, did the meeting you enunciated today between the senior group and Justin Reeves, is that the trigger, or was this going to play out this way anyway?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jared. I think it probably would have happened no matter what, but I think it expedited the process. I mean, the players just felt like the whole situation was untenable. And Ben McAvoy in the leadership group, who were, by the way, standing behind us as we were asking questions today, the whole leadership group was present at that freezing press conference in the middle of Waverley Park. They were the ones that said, we can't have two coaches. You know, it's mixed messaging. They were very flat after the Fremantle game. That was the days after the handover was announced and they got belted down in Tassie. They were very flat after the Adelaide game on the weekend. I think the players had just had enough. So, that happened Wednesday. Thursday, Justin Reeves, Jeff Kennett, James Henderson, Clarko's manager, talked about next year, and they sort of decided that, you know, he would be paid out fully. And then that got ratified by the board later that night. So it's last night. And the board had agreed to announce this on Monday. But as it happens in footy clubs, things leak out and they had to make things up on the run today.
So if Clarko gets a job next year, does he pay the money back, or is he allowed to keep the cash?
No, my understanding is it's mitigated. So, if, you know, for all intents and purposes, if Alistair Clarkson coaches Carlton next year, Hawthorn would only have to pay in the soft cap whatever the difference in the salary is.
Yep.
If he's not, though, I mean, and Alistair did everything but close the door on him coaching next year. I thought he basically said, call me if you want, through his messaging today. Mm. That's how I translated it. But, if he doesn't coach anyone next year, he gets his $900,000, and the Hawks will have to spread that over a number of years in the soft cap. They've already spoken to Ken Wood and Andrew Dillon at the AFL to make sure that they're allowed to do that. I think the maximum is 5 years. But, there is the weird scenario where Alistair Clarkson for a number of years could be getting paid by both clubs.
So ultimately, Sam, is this what this was all about, the 3 weeks leading into this? Was it just about getting the check?
Well, I mean, it's a really cynical way of looking at it, Hutto, but I think ultimately the answer is yes. I mean, this is about a contract. And Alistair Clarkson, you know, whether you like him or not, is absolutely entitled to that money. And I think that, you know, Hawthorn thought they were really clever by trying to navigate their way through this and use Sam Mitchell really as the fallback to say, well, you know, sorry, Clarko, but we've got to get Mitch in. You know, I don't think it was about that at all. I think the decision from Hawthorn was, well, we don't want you to coach us anymore. And let's put the pressure on him and hopefully he walks and we don't have to pay him his money. I just think that's backfired, you know, completely. And that whole monologue from Alistair Clarkson last week, I think, was from the heart, and it was also putting pressure on the board. And I think he's played it beautifully. I think that Hawthorn Footy Club were all playing checkers and Clarko was playing chess.
It seemed to me like that too, Scoop. I suppose from the player point of view, when you said that they went to Justin Reeves and just said that this can't happen, I wonder why they didn't wait until the end of the season. What have you got any specifics in terms of match day coaching or what might have been happening behind the scenes that would suggest the players to go to Justin Reeves and just say, we cannot wait the next 4 weeks. We need this to change now and we need clarity.
Yeah, I think Geordie, it was probably the fact that they're very different coaches and they see the game plan is, you know, very differently. And I think as we've seen from a lot of, I know there's been a couple of successful handovers, but we've seen from a lot of failed ones, there's mixed messaging. And I don't think the players appreciated that. And for whatever reason, they couldn't wait. It's probably better for the club if they waited until the end of the season, particularly given where Hawthorn are at the ladder. But as it transpired, it didn't. So the club felt they had to act now.
So, Sam, if Jeff Kennett thinks or thought it was going to work, and Sam Mitchell told us it was going to work, and Alistair Clarkson told us it was going to work, you're telling us that players went to the board and told them it ain't going to work. So how do the players know that it's not going to work when it seemed like Kennett, Mitchell and Clarko were all convinced it would?
Yeah, well, this is, do I know where we come back to that that word charade, isn't it? I mean, none of those people thought it was going to work. You can just take that as fact. No one there did. But of course, you know, footy clubs are about brand management, like a bank or like a company. But they have to show their members that there is faith in the process. And so everyone was going to get behind this handover, this succession plan, until it didn't work. And Jeff Kennett, you know, bizarrely kind of admitted that right at the end, that I was right all the way through until I was wrong. Footy clubs are as big on brand management as they are on list management. And they had to show their members that they had belief in what was going on. But if you're asking me whether those people actually thought the succession would work, well, they didn't.
Had Nathan Buckley's scoop not resigned mid-season, would this have eventuated anyway?
Yeah, it's interesting, Jared, the chain of events. I mean, Nathan leaves, and so they start their process. Graham Wright's first phone call is to Sam Mitchell. Sam, whatever you do, don't re-sign with the Hawks because we might want you to be a part of the process here. That filters to Waverley pretty quick, as you can imagine. And then the Hawthorns say to themselves, well, can we really afford to miss out on Sam Mitchell? But I think the greater question, as I mentioned before, is do we really want Alistair to coach beyond his contract? And the answer to that question was no. So, you know, history would say that Hawthorn blinked first.
And in blinking, they end up having to pay Clarko out.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I have zero empathy for the Hawthorn Footy Club in that. When you sign contracts, they're in stone. And James Henderson has clearly put together a very, very good contract for his client in Clarko. And I don't think there's anyone in footy that I've spoken to, Jared, in the last 2 weeks that doesn't think that Alistair is entitled to that money. Mm.
Sam, as Dwayne said, you seem to know more about what Clarko's going to do than he does. Have you got a read on whether he will coach or he'll genuinely want to coach next year or not, or whether, you know, you take some things on face value and think he might need a break?
Well, this is the $900,000 question, Otto. Mm. I don't think he'll coach Collingwood. I think it will be either Don Pike or Brad Scott. And I think that when the review is announced at Carlton that David T will finish. And I think that the first call is going to have to be to Alistair Clarkson. Will he take the call? Well, he basically told us today that he will. He just wants a few weeks off to think about his next move. But it would be, you know, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence, the Blues, and you can take it from me that Luke Sayers is a big fan of Alistair Clarkson. How could you not be, given his record? Mm. So they'll call him, no doubt. They'll call James Henderson and ask the question. But, yeah, I would find it difficult to be convinced that one of Alistair Clarkson or Ross Lyon isn't coaching Carlton next year.
Mm. Scoop, you are now batting at 100% in your take it to the banks. What can we take to the bank from as far as a Collingwood perspective and now a Carlton perspective? You've given us two candidates for both. Just dabble a little bit stronger if you wouldn't mind. You're in
form.
Come
on, Jared. I've put it down to two each.
You're in good form. Who's in front of both?
I would have Don Pike in front of Brad Scott at Collingwood. And I would have Alistair Clarkson and nose in front of Ross Lyon at Carlton.
So you don't even have Teague in that equation at all, Sam?
I have been very consistent that I don't think David Teague will coach Carlton beyond this year. And they just got beaten by the 18th side in the competition pretty comfortably. So I don't think anything's changed there. The review, by the way, is nearly done. And if you can just picture a call centre going off, that's what it was like at Carlton today when the Alistair Clarkson news filtered through.
Sam, well done. It's outstanding reporting, and it's an incredible story. So congratulations on that. As you said, the bigger picture is the story itself, but you had to hold a fair bit of crossfire along the way. So well played.
Thanks, boys. Have a good call.
You did give 100-1 scoop. Have you been picking up any of those bets? Have people paying?
I actually just had a notification via ANZ that one Michael Warner has paid $100 into my account.
Top shelf.
Sam McClure, Sports Day.
I know you're busy, mate, but if I call you at lunchtime to say well done on a story, at least give me a call back by 6, couldn't you? I know you're a busy guy, though, aren't you?
Sorry, Dwayne. I was getting around to that.
You gave me a start years ago, Dwayne.
Thank you, Sam. Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with the AIDS. That question of Alistair Clarkson and whether he'll coach next year, let's see what the man himself said.
No, I'm just going to take a breath. And that's what's been some of the discussions that we've had over the last, particularly the last 2 or 3 days. But that's been with a lot of people. And that's why it's so hard to keep this contained within the walls of our footy club, because some of the people that you need to reach out to get advice about, that have either mentored you, or they're from people from outside the footy club. Right at the present time, I'm wanting to give all my energy I possibly can for the last 4 weeks of our season. We've got a game, as Mitch just indicated, against Brisbane on Sunday against my great mate Fags, who's going to be in the opposition coach's box. Hope he might give us the 3-goal head start, the old fella, but we'll wait and see. At the present time, my commitment is just to have a spell and see where 2023 might take me.
So, and then he kind of went on and sort of said, well, you can give me a call almost.
Yeah, he did. And so I'll ask Jared the question. If you could have $900,000 next year to not do any media and just go surfing, or you could get the same $900,000 and keep doing media.
I know what Jared would do.
You're asking the wrong person.
Well, that's what he's got. He's got a choice of doing nothing and getting $900 or coaching another team like Carlton and getting $900.
Yeah, look, how can you make Clarko's decision for him? I think his son Matthew is doing VCE next year. I think he anticipated having 12 months off after 2022. So who knows? But Carlton will come calling, you would expect. Ross Lyon, I think, would have already taken a call. So, gee, it's an amazing scenario where you've got two of the best coaches we've seen available to coach a side that's crying out for some success.
And, Louis, in the end, even though Hawthorn seem like they've sort of messed it up, have they now got the result they were after in that Sam Mitchell coaches next year?
I think so. I think that was the reason why he was brought back. Alistair Clarkson had a big say in him coming back to Hawthorn, going to West Coast, doing a few years over there, applying his trade, see what a different organisation looks like. And then he was a big part of why he was brought back to Hawthorn to eventually take over. And there's only two ways. You either get sacked and then you go on the interview process and try and interview candidates and that's how you find your coach. Or there's an internal recognition of someone that gets the next senior gig, and that's the way that Hawthorn have gone. I think it has played out the last 18 months the way that they thought it would. I think they generally thought it was going to play out until the end, and then clearly that's changed, and it caught them on
the hop.
What's
changed?
Well, I think the realization from people within the club that there can't be two people that are, one being a senior coach currently, the incumbent, and then the other one waiting in the wings.
They could have said to Sam Mitchell 3 weeks ago, just bide your time.
And I get the feeling that he would have been happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, you get another 6 draft picks before you start.
Yeah.
Starters.
So he was going to have a say on the direction of
the club. So ultimately, Clarko didn't really want this to happen, is what you're saying.
Well, I think even in his press conference, he said that he thought that the club needed to move away from his shadow. So he's had a big say on how it's ended so suddenly. Absolutely. He's come out of it well. He's come out of it with options clearly out there. He's been a fantastic coach of that football club, had a lot of success. But the club thought it was time to go in a different direction at the end of next year. He saw fit that it needed to end earlier.
Where does this leave Sam Mitchell, do you think? Does it leave him in a more difficult position than he would have been otherwise?
No doubt. Because he's thrust into the senior coaching role when he has admitted he didn't think he was ready to be in. So he would have thought that he had another 12 months to coach Box Hill and get that experience under his belt, yet everything has been fast-forwarded. And
so is the talent base. It's not there yet.
Yeah. So, and I think the way that everything's transpired and the handover and the way that it's ended and all the messaging that has been coming out of Hawthorn, that adds to the pressure. He's unfortunately a coach that will be under scrutiny straight away when we thought he had time to get this list together.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there'll be any great expectations on what they'll do next year. So if he handles it well, he can probably control the narrative around that. We need to take a break. We'll come back and discuss this further. And certainly from a Collingwood and a Carlton point of view, with the Blues playing tonight, what they should do from here. And also where it leaves Jeff Kennett. Shout out for Hyundai. Do you have your eyes on a brand new car? Go ahead and experience the convenience of buying your brand new Hyundai online with Hyundai's Click to Buy, visiting the Hyundai website to find your local dealer today. You're listening to AFL Nation.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
This is a momentous moment in the life of the football club, and we hope that as a result of the goodwill that's been shown by all parties, we now have clear air. And I say that in particular for the players who have, for the last two or three weeks, been confused, which is understandable. And we recognise that while we are a family club and this hasn't been the most traditional way of a family to behave, it does happen from time to time. But the beauty about this club is it has the capacity, as Clarko said, to continually confound those who make comments about them. And as I just look up behind me at the statue of John Kennedy, I remember sitting here as a younger man with John, watching games of football here well after he had retired as coach. I hope Clarko will be equally as part of our club for the rest of his life, because we're only here for a brief period of time. We're not here for long periods of time, and the club is much bigger than any of us. So we now have clear air, and we thank Clarko. We don't finish today because I think he's going to continue to coach us for the rest of this season, which we welcome. But it is the day on which we announce the change.
Yes, a momentous moment, according to the president of Hawthorn, Jeff Kennett there. If you've just joined us, this is AFL Nation, and we are discussing the only really footy story of the day. We are leading into St Kilda versus Carlton from Marvel Stadium, and of course the return of Charlie Curnow to footy. So we'll get to the Blues shortly. Eddie Betts is going to be our special guest coming up. Our experts tonight, Jordan Lewis and Jared Healy for Car Sales. Sell your car in 24 hours with Car Sales instant offer. Where do you think it leaves Jeff and the Hawthorn members and his relationship with the club and their fans, Jared?
I think this is a difficult period for Jeff. When you see out a legendary coach like Clarko, and you introduce a legendary player who's yet to prove himself as a coach, and you're seen to be driving that, then it's, you know, if it's not successful in a short term, and I'm not talking 1 or 2 years, if it's not successful and there's signs of success early, then I think Jeff will come under some scrutiny. I don't think they've handled it at all well. I mean, I think Jeff's been outmaneuvered in some respects by Clarko in this, and you know, the best thing that can happen is that they can part ways amicably with a smile on their face and move on as quickly as possible to the Mitchell era.
Should they have foreseen that this would happen, knowing the two personalities, do you think?
Oh, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, we sat there and
all, I mean, Justin Reeves went on the radio 3 weeks before, a month or two before, oh, we don't do succession plans at all.
That was what us had. He said there's no curability agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you knew it wasn't what they wanted for the first start.
And Jason Dunstall said the night it was announced the succession plan, this won't work.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was a curability agreement. But I don't think they thought, I don't think they envisaged that A, Buckley would walk, and B, the first phone call from Graham Wright was going to be Sam Mitchell. Mm. And then I don't think they thought that Sam would say, well, okay, I need something on paper here. So a lot of things have happened outside of their control which they didn't foresee. And I think going back, as I said earlier, the smartest thing in hindsight to have done was to tell Sam, you are at the top of the list right now. We can't guarantee you anything.
Yep.
And Justin Reeves should have maintained his position that there's no curability agreement. Now, we don't know whether he was told by the president or the board to enact the curability agreement or not. But it seems to me if that hadn't have happened, they would have had a much better result.
In terms of Sam Mitchell and his public messaging now? I mean, has the trust in him been
eroded
by this?
No, I don't think so. I think...
Does he need to make sure... Like, does he need to come out strongly and say more, or does he just...
No, I think his interview with Jared was for me, really genuine. That's exactly how he felt, and I took that as him not having any knowledge of what else was going on. So in a way, he wasn't blindsided by it, but certainly the way that it's panned out in the last 2 weeks, that he had, my belief is he had no idea what was happening, and he's very much been a byproduct of conversations that have been happening without him in the room. So there's part of me that feels a little bit for him, to be honest.
Do you think he's ready now?
Well, you never know. I mean, all I go back to is when Clarko arrived at the club, was he ready? No one actually knows. Now, you've got to understand, you've got to put people around you. You've got to develop a list that can get you there. That's the biggest part. You've got to be able to make your players believe in what you're selling. That's the challenge for him. Is his football intellect there? Absolutely. The smartest player that I've ever played with. But now can that be conveyed, and how it's conveyed to a group, that's his greatest challenge.
And I think we've got to understand that Clarko wasn't an immediate success. Clarko took some years to get it going.
Well, he effectively took 9 years. I mean, if it wasn't for 2008, which...
That was a flag, though. That kind of buys you a bit of time.
Yeah, but that was before... He and everyone thought that would be an era of success.
Yep.
So it does take a long time. So there will be moments throughout the early part of Sam Mitchell's career. The club will need to stick by him. Absolutely. We've seen it with all premiership coaches. Hardwick, Clarkson, they all go through it. Mm. Can he get a board that believes in what he's doing is really important? I think he can coach. I truly believe that. Now it's about getting players in that can actually build some form of success over the next 5 to 10 years.
Who would Clarko be more suited to, Carlton or Collingwood, do you think? Give it Sam, if you just joined us, Sam McClure, who so stridently reported this story, said that he believed that David Teague would be replaced by either Ross Lyon or Clarko, and he thought that Ross Lyon was ahead of Clarko, which is really interesting in itself. And then at Collingwood, Don Pike is narrowly ahead of Brad Scott as it stands.
Both sides have interesting dynamics from an administration point of view. And I think that would be the greatest challenge if he was to go to Carlton.
We don't know what the administrative dynamics will be when he turns up.
Correct. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think both clubs clearly have their pluses and minuses. But clearly Sam thinks Carlton...
What's a better job right
now? I think if you're looking at purely at playing lists, I think Carlton would be marginally ahead of Collingwood.
Do you agree with that, Jared?
I think they're pretty close. I like what Carlton's got by way of De Koning, a couple of good defenders, a couple of good midfielders, but both clubs are well short on depth.
The expectations would be higher at Carlton, though, wouldn't they, that you could... get this thing.
Mm. Well, you've got Pendlebury and Sidebottom who are on the way out, and a bit might depend on how Charlie Curnow looks tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, he changes everything too. If Charlie becomes the Charlie we thought he was going to become, then Carlton's a different team. I mean, you only have to look at the improvement of Mackay has been huge. But if you have a good key forward, or if you've got two good key forwards, it changes everything.
For Luke Sayers, is Clarko an easier sell than Ross Lyon?
I think Clarko's got the premierships. Ross Lyon's got a long-term, a lot of success without the flags. I think you can't lose on either, to be honest.
Just because of how you rate Ross Lyon?
Absolutely. I mean, Ross, I think Ross is I mean, let's be honest, Ross was a fumble away from a premiership.
Mm.
So, I mean, Ross has rebuilt a couple of sides. People say he's no good at the coaching kids. Well, if you have a look at the rebuilding of Fremantle, they were well and truly on their way prior to injury taking effect in his, the second year after they bottomed out. So I've got no doubt that Ross Lyon could take Carlton to the promised land if he was given enough time.
And I think only those, out of all the coaches that are available, assistant coaches and ex-coaches, I think only those two coaches could coach that side to where they need to get to. And that's one being a big club. It's the list demographic. It's everything that else that goes in with that position. Those two coaches, I'm with Jared, you could not lose if one was selected over the other.
How will it be for one of those prospective sides thinking, this guy's been coaching for a long time, he probably needs a break, but this is our one chance to get him? Like, if Carlton go to him and he actually says that, look, I'm keen to coach again, but I need a year off. Could you do a reverse succession plan where you put someone in for a year
who's going to just
sort of lay the groundwork for Clarko?
No, I think the change of environment would freshen Alistair up or Ross Lyon to go into the Carlton Football Club. That's all they need. I think their passion for the game is both still there. The change of environment for me would invigorate whatever tiredness or lack of enthusiasm a certain club would do.
So Collingwood want to appoint a coach before the end of what, the final series? Are they going to start interviewing soon? And if they do want to start interviewing...
No, they have.
Yeah, well, but they can't interview... They can't make a decision until they find out whether Alistair Clarkson is now a contender for that job. And Alistair Clarkson's coaching for another 4 weeks, so...
Well, he's already told them... He told them that he didn't want to coach there next year, but whether this now changes.
I think he would... If he had any interest in coaching either of those clubs next year, he would have the right to be meeting with... whoever in the
absolutely.
Meantime.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, he couldn't meet with Collingwood and then coach Hawthorn on the weekend, though.
Yes, he could.
Yeah, I think he could.
I don't think he needs to. He just needs to give an indication of whether he's open to the
you
idea.
Think he could meet Collingwood on a weekday and then go and coach Hawthorn?
Yeah, I couldn't see an issue with that. Absolutely.
Okay. What do you think, Jared?
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue with that. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's coaching a finals team. He needs to be 100% focused. I mean, Clarko's going to try and get a couple of wins on the way out without question, but...
You know, I'll be one out thinking that's a bit weird.
Yeah. Do you think it's a charade or a charade?
No, I'm not sure. I'm from South Australia, so I still talk about chances and mauls.
Castlemaine or Castlemaine?
Oh, I'm still confused. Depends on which state it's in, like Derby and Derby. But, look, the whole world just... Whatever's the truth now, today, doesn't end up being the truth tomorrow. Everything moves so quickly in this world that... who knows what's going to happen?
We'll just ask Sam. That's what we'll
do. That's right. He knows.
Round the table, though, will Clarkson be coaching next year?
I will say no, but that I am absolutely not surprised if he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a no.
Yeah.
Okay. So two no's and two yeses, and that's about the way this story is.
Yeah, nah. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to speak to Eddie next. Eddie Betts is going to join us. As we head to the break, though, let's head to the newsroom. And there'll be plenty of Olympic updates through the night for Chemist Warehouse. But we go to the newsroom now for a sports news update.
Sport all rolled up for Rolled. Fast, fresh Vietnamese with crunch, bite and flavour. Order via the app or visit a store today.
Coach Alistair Clarkson has confirmed he will depart Hawthorn at the end of the season, a year earlier than originally planned. After 17 years, Clark admits the club needs fresh air for 2022, with Sam Mitchell set to take the reins. Fremantle assistant Josh Carr has been stood down by the club and charged after alleged breaches of quarantine directions. The Dockers are completing a 14-day home quarantine period after travelling to the Gold Coast with special exemptions granted for visiting the club to train. In the NBA, where former Adelaide 36ers guard Josh Giddey has been selected with pick 6 in the draft, off to Oklahoma City Thunder, and Australia's Emma McKeon added a second gold medal to her 2020 Olympics haul with a win in the women's 100-metre freestyle final at the Tokyo Games. Fellow Aussie Kate Campbell finished in third for bronze. That's sport, and it's all thanks to Rolled, family-made Vietnamese served fast and fresh.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
AFL Nation, it's Friday night footy. It's Carlton versus St Kilda from Marvel Stadium. And we'll get back to the situation at Hawthorn shortly. But one man who would love to be out there today as Charlie Curnow makes his return to footy is Eddie Betts. Unfortunately, he's on the sidelines. Eddie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Are we going to see you again this year?
Yeah, well, had the scans done on Monday, and it was just a bad sprain. It blew right up, but, you know, compression, ice and massage at the club, and now it's down. I'm walking without a boot, so which is positive. And they basically said that I could have played this week if the foot wasn't so fat and swelled up. So hopefully next week.
So how do you feel broadly? How do you feel, you know, other than the injury you've got right now, are you still feeling relatively fresh for this time of the year?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm feeling okay, feeling good. You know, I was hoping there for a second, though. You know, they were trying to make the week shorter, bring games in, you know, to four-day breaks. And if we did four-day breaks, I probably wouldn't have made that, because that's what probably got me last year up in the hub, you know, those short turnarounds. But now I'm feeling good. I'm happy. I'm enjoying my footy. And, you know, when I feel good and I'm happy, that's when I play my best.
Eddie, are you expecting to go on next year? Have you got a contract for next year?
No, I don't. I don't have a contract. At the moment, we're just enjoying it, you know, playing it, and then we'll just see how it plays out.
Eddie, how's the week been internally? What was a really bad loss last week? You were quite vocal and did a good job on 360. How's the week been from, I suppose, your whole career and understanding the enormity of what's happening at Carlton and your role throughout the week having so much experience?
Yeah, I guess, you know, coming off, you know, a bad loss, it's pretty, you know, people walking around on eggshells, boys, you know, when we go into meetings. And I guess we just had to hit the nail on the head on Monday, have the review. We had to learn from it. You know, we didn't play our best footy, you know, and we basically reviewed it. The team, the boys took the review, the leadership group. So, you know, we showed some footage in our defense that wasn't so great. So we said we'll hit the nail on it. Short turnaround, you know, we play Friday night, you know, when it comes Tuesday, we're getting ready for St Kilda, we'll get on with the week.
So that's the difference. I mean, I did the game, I covered the game, and it was clear that there was a lack of effort, I suppose, on defence, whether it be decision-making or the want to get there. Is that the difference that you'd love to see tonight?
Yeah, just the intensity. Just more so, Jordan, I think, four quarters. It's the four-quarter effort. You know, we had games this year where teams, 20 minutes, you know, teams kicked five or six goals on us, and we just couldn't stop it. And it's so hard to come back from. And I guess, you know, we just got to play consistent footy for four quarters, go out there and start well as well. You know, finish our work in front of goals, kick the goals, and, you know, get a jump on St Kilda. And to be honest, with the crowd not being there, it makes a big factor, because when we played Collingwood the week beforehand, we were loud, you know, we were going all at it, and you could see the Collingwood boys were getting frustrated. And then it just flipped the next week. You know, North Melbourne were loud. We were getting frustrated at each other, and they just got on top and got a roll.
Is Charlie Curnow ready to go?
I believe he is. You know, at training, I'm actually pretty sad that I'm not out there with him because, you know, we've been speaking all year. We just want to play with each other, and he comes back to training and then he finally gets to play and then I'm not playing. It's a bit upsetting, but, you know, at training, he's dominating. And he's playing on Jonesy, he's playing on Weeders, you know, obviously almost a full, you know, all Australian fullback at the moment. So, you know, and he's killing it. So I guess if he can go for four quarters at AFL level, I don't know if he's going to be restricted, but we'll wait and see tonight.
Been a number of people say it's too risky. I'm not one of them, I've got to say. I think if he's done the pre-season or the mini pre-season over the last 6 weeks, he's had a couple of hit-outs. I think you're better off having a few weeks under your belt so you start the pre-season ready to go.
Yeah, I think it is too. You know, like I said, he's been in full training now for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So I guess, you know, they didn't want to risk him any earlier than that because he was full training in all of our match sim, do all of that, and then he came and played a couple of VFL games. And so, yeah, it'd be really exciting for him tonight. And hopefully he puts on a show for everyone on Friday night footy.
Eddie, Sam Petrefsky-Seaton, do you have a special relationship with him? Do you mentor him? Because right now he's in and out of the side. He must be frustrated. He's a high draft pick, number five for memory, might have been eight. And yet I see him deliver the ball beautifully. He can't get it enough. He's been tried in a number of positions. And, you know, right now his career is at that famous roadway, the crossroads.
Yeah, Samo, you know, obviously he's an unbelievable talent. And coming to the club last year, you know, I watched him play in the midfield and he absolutely dominated. He went back at halfback flank last year and at the start of this year. and played exceptionally well. To me, be honest, for me personally, I believe he should be in the middle because obviously what you said, you know, he can use left, right, yeah. can win clearances. But I guess it's the challenge of getting in that midfield, you know, when you got the likes of Cripp, Paddy Dow now, who's bloody playing some great footy for us. And you got, you know, Sam Welsh probably almost up there with the top three players in the competition at the moment. So it's pretty tough midfield to break in, and he played up at half forward. And, you know, if the ball's not coming down at the forward line, it's pretty hard down there to get involved, especially as a small forward. You know, sometimes you can get starved. And so I guess he was thrown around a lot this year in different positions. But for me personally, I'd love to see him play in the middle and, you know, hold that spot in the middle.
How's the off-field stuff been, Eddie? There's been a lot of publicity being going around about the review. Has that had any effect on the player's ability to go out on a weekend and perform?
No, not really, Jordan, not really. To be honest, you really know that they're there because there's really actually no one in there because of COVID. And basically, you know, we just go on about our week, just going out training and playing footy. So you barely know it's playing out in the background, to be honest.
Have you spoken to the reviewers?
Yeah, I think most people have. So, yeah, we'll see how it plans out. And only, you know, positive can come from this. So
Who'd you have a crack at, Eddie?
Hello.
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. And, but, you know, like I said, only positive coming out of review. I've been 3-1 in Adelaide. You know, I've been through a review there. So I guess, you know, we're just focusing on some playing footy, to be honest. And we'll let that play out in the background.
Well, hopefully we get to see you back out there again soon. Thanks for joining us, Eddie. Really appreciate your time. Good luck in the near and long-term future.
Thanks, guys. I've just got one question for Jordy. Jordy, I see you on Instagram. And what's all this red wine you got there? You own your own business?
You need some?
Yeah, I do. You going to hook a brother up?
I'll get it out to you. Don't worry. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jordy.
Give the brand a plug then if you're handing out cartons.
Suddenly worthwhile.
Well, it was all sold out, but I'll find a six-pack for Eddie, no doubt.
Still. Now, I provided the Tommy Ross.
Yes. And I did ask you if I could buy some a little while ago, but you didn't come.
I'll provide the wine next week.
You had the Colonel, the southern fish, southern fried fish.
And the prawns. I had 1,500 prawns.
Oh, the prawns. Oh, the garlic prawns.
All right, more of the prawns and some footy when we return.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
Nation for Beaumont Tiles, wind tiling products for a year. Simply go to icanwin.com.au. And don't forget, you can get involved on AFL Nation across the weekend on the open line. With thanks to Southern Phones, great value NBN broadband offers from Southern Phone, southernphone.com.au. And the old open line was pretty strong, pretty busy right through the day because of the biggest story in footy in quite some time. And we were actually talking before we came on air, Duane, we were talking about the biggest days that we've been around in from a media point of view. I mean, the greatest parallel was before you and my time. I think Jared was around when Norm Smith... Were you playing for Melbourne then, Jared?
just... You were around when Sydney went to Sydney, when the Swans went to Sydney. That would have been pretty big at the time.
Yeah, it was big, but it was... It had been coming for 3 months, so you sort of knew, maybe 6 months. There was a blue down at South Melbourne. The Keep South Melbourne group was all together. I think Bill Collins was pretty strongly involved in that. But the biggest single event in 27 years of Sports Day or Sports Today was when Wayne Carey left North Melbourne at about 6:07. I mean, we're the only sports show in town back then.
And there was no internet back then. So if you wanted to get your footy news.
No one knew what the issue was.
Yep. Hello, thanks for joining us.
Hello and welcome. And the whole world was stunned.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
You still had to get off your lounge and turn the dial on your TV back then to change the channel.
I think there was internet in 2002 or whatever.
No, but there wasn't an internet that had instant news.
It's not the social
you didn't have
media.
Twitter and, you didn't have that.
It was Yahoo and
MSN.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure there was internet at that stage.
Well, it certainly wasn't on your phone, Duane.
Your phone. No one had mobile phones. You had internet if you had a hard computer on your desk.
Yeah, it was dial-up.
Well, I sat there, opened up the show, and it was just, when it happened, it was like, wow. We had Mike Sheehan, we had Caro, we had Robert Walls, we had Lee Matthew, we had the whole footy world, and they were all the same, just in total
Well, I was sitting in the in at Fox Footy, and it had just started that year, really? I think. And Clinton, the late Clinton Gribus, interviewed Wayne Carey because he was contracted to us, I think.
Yeah.
So the next would have been the next, not 24 hours later, and it was a huge lead into that interview as to what was going to be said. And like you said, we were just gobsmacked, just like couldn't believe the story. The Essendon story was probably the story that kept giving for as long a period as I can remember. That just went on and on and on.
Yeah, I found that. I mean, that was probably the hardest story to cover in my time. It was just, there was no winners. It was bad for the game. It was bad for individuals who were, you know, most people are friends with the people involved, particularly, you know, Hurdy and those. And yet there was just nothing good that came out of that.
And you and I were doing Talkback Radio at that time together. And Hutto, you would have been in the game as well, obviously. The lines were full before you came on. You might want to talk about who's playing centre-half forward tonight and what the matchups might be on the weekend. But the lines were already full of people wanting to talk about Essendon.
Yep.
And Caro was probably the greatest antagonist towards the Essendon cause. She was on every Tuesday night, so each and every week it got refueled. So it was a difficult one, I must admit.
Buddy moving to the Swans?
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. And, Jerry, as you mentioned before we came on, it wasn't so much that Buddy was moving because that had been speculated. Yeah. It was the fact that he went to
Swans.
Didn't
go to the Giants.
Yeah. And everyone thought he was going to the Giants.
That was one of the best kept secrets wasn't it?
In the history, yeah.
Did you know,
nope.
Jordan?
No.
Did you know? You knew he was going, though, didn't you?
We knew he was going. He told Ruffy and I the day before it was announced. Yeah, and he said, I just want to let you know that I'm moving and moving to Sydney. Yeah, Sydney, Ruffy and I had spoken about it without you actually there. Bud, so we understand, to GWS, we understand that's the case. We're all good. But he goes, well, I just need to add one part to it. I'm actually going to Sydney, not GWS. And we were gobsmacked. Had no idea whatsoever.
Did you think it was the right move to go to Sydney rather than the Giants?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I found it difficult to understand why Mike Fitzpatrick and Gill were so against it, because they weren't ready for Buddy, the Giants. Whereas Sydney, it was the best of both worlds.
Although, as it's turned out, I mean, he would have had to go through a lot of, you know, three or four seasons of ordinariness. But
they had a lot more teammates.
By 2016, they were ready to be contending, weren't they? So he would have.
Would less Giants players have left over the journey? Yeah. You just don't know.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to keep as many on if he was getting paid 1.2. They had Cameron. At Himmelberg.
There might have been a bit more looseness around the salary cap.
Careful.
If that was the case, though, Jared.
Do you think so?
Oh, I don't know. There might have been, Jared.
Okay. Lucky we're in delay.
I don't think there's much looseness around the salary cap for the Swans right now.
No, and there wasn't as a result of that, was there?
No, that greatest act of bastardry was enacted and played out against the Sydney Swans. They weren't able to go to the draft for a couple of years.
No. Yeah, and the Kohler, but so many repercussions had one thing and not the other thing happen.
The merger, going back to when I first started out, the mergers, plural, were just massive, and that was just the constant story about
the Melbourne Hawthorn one.
Fitzroy was the major one. It was what was going to happen to them, and then the Hawthorn Melbourne mergers
that was huge.
Was the go, and you broke a story before you barely finished playing.
That was about my second article for the Herald Sun about the Melbourne Tigers.
Richmond and Melbourne merging.
I'll tell you another big story was, and it went on for a fair period of time, was Save Waverley.
Yeah.
Waverley was huge, and there was, I mean, I think it was David Shaw ended up having a falling out over various issues, but the Waverley with the commission, this is, former Essendon president, but the Waverley issue was massive.
I asked Ross Oakley
about the grass.
Yep.
And he said to me, the answer to the question, what are you going to do with the technology of the grass? Well, we'll work it out by the time it's built. Oh. Well, it took about 10 years afterwards to get it worked out.
At Marvel, yeah.
Would the question without notice, I don't know what the stats are. Will we have less or more scoring if the ovals were as big as Waverley, which was slightly bigger and had a bigger feel?
I don't think it matters now, because we all just compress into one small. We just all compress into an area.
Yeah.
So
you don't think a bigger oval would help? scoring.
Well, I think if the players, because there was a theory that they're trying to score,
the SCG would help scoring because it was a smaller oval.
Yeah, but that's a myth.
Yeah,
the SCG isn't a smaller oval. People think it's a smaller oval, but it's actually one and a half
from goal to goal. It is, but it's wider.
It's wider.
It's wider, but from goal to goal, it's slightly shorter.
Yeah, yeah, but it's when we say slightly, we're talking about a metre and a half, I think, at each end. So 3 metres in total.
Mm.
Most people think it's the ground that
Waverley
I played on.
Waverley was bigger.
Waverley was much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't think that would help scoring if we had bigger overs?
Let's bring back Waverley to save scoring.
Well, I don't think so because, I mean, the MCG is pretty wide, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's a big ground.
But my initial reaction would be yes. I think it would fit. Potentially fatigue players a little bit more and open the game up. And
well, then let's get rid of rotations.
Yeah. That wasn't the question.
But no.
But for the weight of it then, just on rotations, will they be reduced? You've got a
well,
year
no,
AFL
well,
has.
Well,
will they be reduced and will we have 4 in the sub, 3 in the sub, no sub or 5 interchange next year?
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that because there's no Steve Hocking anymore.
Yeah.
If Steve Hocking had been there, I would say, no, he'll just put the brake on at the present time.
Right.
There's a lot of people in that working group, I think, would like to see it reduced. I know Adrian Anderson and Kevin Bartlett were on that group. There was a lot of work done on fatigue and it opening up. So I think if they were still in charge... In fact, they went to the commission, and this was one of the great disappointments for Adrian Anderson and Kevin Bartlett, who were running it. And for the first time in history, the commission knocked back what the executive wanted.
Right.
And they wanted to drop the rotations, I think, down to about 25 or 40, but it was at about 130.
Mm.
So it was going to be dramatic, and they knocked it on the head. So there was a bit of ill will, and things changed from there.
Back to you're in the present now and looking as to what might happen with the game. Just one last little chat on Hawthorn before we turn our attention to some of the other issues. And tonight we haven't really given any time at all to St Kilda and Carlton, and we'll do that. But what does Sam Mitchell do with his list, do you think, now?
Well, I think that question is the Tom Mitchell question. And this is why I think it's, if I was Tom Mitchell, I would have liked to have had another 12 months. Before I took over, because you're going to get...
If you were Sam Mitchell.
If I was Sam Mitchell. You're going to get 3 or 4 draft picks, and they're going to be good draft picks this year. You're going to go back to the well again the following year, and Clarko's going to cop the heat. And your Clarko wouldn't have copped the heat because Clarko's Clarko. So Sam, instead of turning up with 6 or 7 really good draft picks, he's going to turn up with 3 and then starting out having to play, etc. So does he tip Tom Mitchell out? My view is no. I think you'd go that way at your peril. I think Hawthorn have gone down that way a fair bit, and they've traded out your good self and Sam Mitchell himself. They've traded in blokes with injuries and tried to get ahead of the curve, and it didn't work ultimately, did it? Giving away first rounders and second rounders
to
do that.
It never does. History tells us that it hasn't worked. I think over the next 4 weeks. There will be players that are playing for contracts. So players who might not necessarily have been playing will be playing, and Sam Mitchell will want to see if they can play. I know it's a 4-week block, but
hang on, Clarko's coaching and picking the team though. Sam will get to see who he gets to see, won't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he would have had a hand in and players who now that Clarko will be coaching the next 4 weeks and Sam Mitchell will be beyond that. I think he'll have a say in who plays.
But what about the key ones? What about Mitchell and O'Meara and those players that were brought to the club with the promise that they'd be competing for silverware, to use the phrase that Clarko loves to?
Yep.
Is it an assessment? Do they at least ask the question out there and see, is anyone... We think we'll keep them, but if you want to offer us the world...
I think the conversation would happen with the players. And the conversation, I think, would go along the lines of, we brought you in, promising you one thing. It hasn't happened. There's been a lot of change that has happened since. If you want to explore your options and go elsewhere, we will try our absolute hardest to facilitate those deals. And I think that is on the club to do that. If players are unhappy about the situation that's unfolded and they want out...
But you wouldn't be proactive if you were the club in this
case. No, I don't think they can be. I don't think they're in a position to be proactive. I think they owe it to the players to see what they want. And if they want out, or if they want to stay, well, then they've got to actually listen to those players.
What level of draft pick would interest you? What would it have to be, do you think, to make it worthwhile for Hawthorn?
For a first-round draft pick. I'm not trading any of those players out for a second.
Which players are you talking, though?
Well, the same ones. Mitchell, O'Meara, there's Gunston.
O'Meara's probably not a first-rounder now with his level of performance. His body just
hasn't come up. If you're going to a club that's got a few first-rounders, they'd be prepared to give one up for him.
Gunston or Bruce?
Yeah, if they saw fit that they wanted to leave the football club, Gunston, I think because of the back injury that has hampered his season, I don't think he would demand a first-round pick. Luke Bruce, I think, certainly would. So those players, are well within their rights to have conversations with Sam Mitchell and list management to understand where they want to be.
All right. Don't forget, you can join the Ream AFL Tipping League at tipping.sen.com.au and win big. Weekly and grand prizes. And as I mentioned, you can get involved on AFL Nation across the weekend on the open line with thanks to Southern Phone. Great value. NBN broadband offers from Southern Phone, southernphone.com.au. Australia in the women's soccer at the Olympics are playing Great Britain, and it is nil all in their quarterfinals. So it's nil all after 13 minutes. That is the score. We'll keep you updated for Chemist Warehouse. Shout out for Hyundai, though. Do you have your eyes on a brand new car? Go ahead and experience the convenience of buying your brand new Hyundai online with Hyundai's Click to Buy. Visit the Hyundai website to find your local dealer today. You're listening to AFL Nation tonight. It is St Kilda and Carlton. And that's what we discuss next. The bounce of the ball is 36 minutes away.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
Welcome back. This is AFL Nation and our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Jordan Lewis, one of our experts tonight for Carsales. He's learning quickly. He just dropped a little zinger about 3 seconds before we came back on air and give us something, no chance for us to talk about, Duane.
Absolutely. And the good, go on, Geordie, go on.
No, I said what I needed to say. Okay. It's into the game tonight. So St Kilda, Carlton, Hutto, lead us off.
Well, Charlie Curnow, Jarrett, the return of Charlie Curnow, and there's been some consternation about whether they should be allowing him to play.
Yep. Ross Lyon was very vocal on Wednesday night. Didn't see the upside. I must admit, I disagree with that perspective. I think Andrew Russell's a star. He's been in the business for a long time. He's got plenty of experience. And I just think psychologically, if you're worried about next year, let's say Ross was coaching him next year, A, he wouldn't want the player to be injured, but mainly if he could get two or three games under his belt, pre-season's going to be a normal pre-season.
Yeah, and I think the view from what I understand is that, you know, he may damage his knee again. Yeah, you know, it may go down, anyway. But that could happen tonight, but it could equally happen in round three next year. So that's from that point of view, he's done all the physical rehab. He's been effectively tearing it up on the track. So there's no more risk now than there would be in X number of weeks' time.
Yeah, and they weigh all those things up. Doctors, physios, head of fitness in Andrew Russell, they all make the decision together, I think it's come to the point where you've just got to play him. And as you said, he could injure his knee walking across the curb. How do you know? And he needs to play some sort of football tonight. So he'll be on managed minutes, maybe. But he just needs to play for the morale of the team, for him to get some confidence going into the preseason and for them to get another look at him.
It's a huge upside, though, isn't it, Duane?
I mean, I agree with you, because confidence in your own body over the summer.
Yeah.
So if he goes in and plays two or three games, then his own confidence in his own body holding up, because as much as you think you might have done the work, you're still worried all summer if you haven't played any footy. But you get two or three games and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, I might be okay.
And that's why he's been knocking down the door of Teague and Andrew Russell, because he wants that confidence to go, okay, I can still play. This whole preseason is worth the effort because I've got a small chunk to fill me up with a little bit of confidence that I can still play.
Go on.
The upside for Carlton, though, is, I mean, we didn't see this guy's best over seasons, but we saw his best over games, and his best is incredible.
Mm. Mm.
And I think the underbelly of Carlton has been exposed to a large degree, but the top end, if De Koning becomes the player I think he's going to become, and you've got Charlie Curnow, if he just played regularly like we've seen him play, he's an A-grader. McKay's got a lot of improvement to do, but he's kicked 50 goals and had a good season, not a great season because he misses too many and doesn't do a lot else. But there's a huge upside for him. They've got some key positions in the back. They've just got to bolster that midfield. Mm. I mean, they've got a lot of
But they don't need many players. If you talk about the ball in Cripps and then the hard runner in Walsh, it's...
If Cripps can go back to being the player that he was, that
what
makes a massive difference.
What do you think of Lee's assessment of Cripper?
I didn't hear it, but my own assessment is he has to play midfield. He can't play forward.
Lee said he'd aged really badly and essentially turned into basically a plotter.
A journeyman is what he is, which is...
Well, I think he's always been that plotter, and how much his knee's hampering him, you never know.
But a pretty good plotter, a pretty good Brownlow plotter.
Yeah, but the game was a bit different, I think.
So you're of that school, are you, that it's the game has changed?
Yeah, I've watched him a little bit. I've watched games where I've just isolated him, and that certainly stands out to me. His inability, once the ball goes, and if the ball's not in his hand, how does he then make decisions on wonder where to get to next, or what is his role right then and there? He doesn't compute those as quick as some of the other midfielders.
You compare him to the Bont. The Bont is one of the Dogs' best defenders because he runs hard, really hard into defence, whereas Patrick Cripps either has the inability to do that or he hasn't got the want to do that. And that's something that they've got to work out a way that that Cripps becomes Danger's doing the same thing in some respects too, but he's got to become Dustin Martin, and so somebody's covering for him. He goes midfield forward.
Yeah, or sit him on someone like Bont.
He wouldn't be able to run with him though.
Well, try. It's one of those things where sometimes if you get lost throughout a game, a reference point in the midfield is what you need, or it just gives him exposure to how hard you've got to work now. The best midfielders in the competition, you're a run below. This is how hard you got to work. This is where you got to get to.
Should they go for Chera, do you think? Or does that leave them too loaded with no...
They got the money.
Well, apparently... Apparently.
They would have. I was doing this with Scoop the other day. They got 7 blokes on big money. Mm.
It's hard to see how they would have, isn't it? But
they're going to have Walsh on $1 million. You've got the captain 6x950 or thereabouts. Plenty of people say he's taking money. Other people say that's rubbish. Irrespective, they've got a couple of halfback flankers on $800,000.
They've still got 2 more years of McGovern.
Mm. You've got McGovern on $880,000 or thereabouts.
Well, they can clearly, if they wanted to, move some money around. But if I'm Carlton and I'm a top 8 side challenging for the premiership and there's a way to get him in, I'd do that. If I'm Carlton right now, I don't get him into that side because who knows, the kid that you might draft next year might come onto the scene and have exactly the same impact as Chera might have coming to your club.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's
and it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Both teams completing their warm-up, or shortly, they're working through their warm-up for Ream in Stuller Room, Australia's favourite in hot water. We need to confirm whether we've got the final teams or not for tonight for St Kilda and Carlton. I think we do have.
Is Murphy the sub or not?
And Murphy is the sub. Murphy is the sub.
There you go. Game 298.
And that's about what we expected. Don't forget Ream, Installer Ream, Australia's favourite in hot water. And if you do have your eyes on a brand new car, go ahead and experience the convenience of buying a brand new Hyundai online with Hyundai's Click to Buy. Visit the Hyundai website to find your local dealer today. More on the Saints and the Blues when we return, and a look at the rest of the matches this weekend as well on AFL Nation.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
Friday Night Football, welcome back to AFL Nation as we get set to go for St Kilda versus Carlton from Marvel Stadium. The Saints back from quarantine of sorts in WA where they challenged the West Coast Eagles but ultimately came up short. And of course the Blues on the back of the disappointment of last week going down to North Melbourne. No change in the Carlton team, and so Mark Murphy once again will be the sub. And We will. We might get a news update, though, before we get any further and dig deeper into tonight's games and the games coming up over the weekend. So let's do that now. Let's get the latest news.
A sports news update for Fuchs Lubricants, Australian made with German technology that pays back.
Coach Alistair Clarkson has confirmed he'll depart Hawthorn at the end of the season, a year earlier than originally planned. After 17 seasons, Clarko admits the club needs fresh air for next year, with Sam Mitchell set to take the reins. Freo assistant coach Josh Carr has been stood down and charged after alleged breaches of quarantine directions. The Dockers are completing a 14-day home quarantine period after travelling to the Gold Coast with special exemptions for visiting the club to train. And in the NBA, where former Adelaide 36ers guard Josh Giddey has been selected with pick 6 in the draft, off to Oklahoma City Thunder. That's sport, and it's all thanks to Fuchs Lubricants, Australian-made with German technology that pays back.
All right, shortly we get into tonight's game with our experts, Jordan Lewis and Jared Healy. Both teams completing their warm-ups for Room Installer Room, Australia's favourite in hot water. Let's just quickly look ahead to the rest of the weekend, though, if we can, gents, before we hone in on what might happen here tonight at Marvel Stadium. The Bulldogs and the Crows, 1st versus 15th. Can't say anything other
than... Come on, Hutto. You've just upset the great man, Jared Healy.
Why is that?
With your incorrect use of home. Yeah.
Oh, right. Home.
You know it upsets him.
I'll do it deliberately in that case from now.
I said it last week and they gave me feedback.
Did they?
Direct feedback.
Okay.
It's a homing pigeon, Hutto. Not a honing pigeon.
Okay, well, I was honing the situation, but you can home it. That's no problems at all. I've never seen a look of such shock around the ground. As
I thought we'd actually indoctrinated you. No. Well, obviously, we need to inoculate you as well.
Indeed, and vaccinate as well. What about the Bulldogs and the Crows? Just another 4 points collect for the Bulldogs?
I think so. Yep. They were clinical last week. Really impressive.
Does Sir Josh Shackey stand up, do you think, as a defender?
It's a good question. He was pretty good last week. He got 17 possessions, which is probably a lot more than he got as a forward at any stage. But he was thrown a challenge, and they may need him to stand up if they're going to win this flag.
He certainly looked more comfortable at that end of the ground. I think when we did games and watched him when he came in as a forward, he looked lost. So to have that reference down in defence, I think works well for him.
All right, North Melbourne and Geelong, unfortunately, the Kangaroos have just been hit so badly with injuries, and we obviously wish our best for Ben Cunnington and the serious situation that he finds himself in, so all the best to Ben and his family. Taron Thomas, Cameron Zerhe out. Interesting, Sean Attlee omitted as well after playing just about every game available since his career has begun of over 220 games, but they're big outs, aren't they? The Cats will debut Nathan Kruger, and Sean Higgins is into the team. So Mark O'Connor is added to that list of injured players that were announced yesterday with Henderson and Myers.
So is Sean Higgins in Geelong's best 22?
That's a great question, Jared. He's right on the edge of it, isn't he? And I think Chris Scott thinks he is. So I think he'll play.
Well, who's he competing with?
He's competing with the high half forwards.
Jordan Clark.
So it's Myers,
well. Dalhouse, Myers, close. Yeah, Jordan Clark's out of the picture at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not going to play O'Connor, you're not going to play a tagger, then you bring in another defender. So that's, I mean, I reckon I would almost pick my next best player if I'm Geelong. I know you like to talk about like for like, but to me, to if you're the Cats, you almost just pick your next best player because I think they've got some versatility there. So their emergencies, Holmes, Evans, Clark and Zach Guthrie. Zach Guthrie is an emergency every week, but he's in and he's out and he's in and out.
Holmes is the one who's been playing when they've needed to go down that far.
Yeah, Lockie Henderson and Graham Myers are also out. So, you know, without Jeremy Count.
Well, Narkle's been out of favour as well. He's only played when they've got to that.
Well, he's got to start running defensively, Narkle. From what I've observed, he's good around the clearance. Yep. But this game, in particular Geelong's game plan, you've got to run hard back.
Yeah, he came on in less than a half and had 8 clearances, game-high clearances last week. So, yeah, it's a really interesting to see what they do with him.
So Kruger's playing out of a back pocket. So, I mean, Jordan Clark has obviously been passed for an opportunity in the defence.
Yeah, well, I think he's been playing more forward, hasn't he? More wing forward. So we'll see where that lands with the Cats, but you'd expect them to be too good for North.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, essentially, three of the North Melbourne best 5 players are out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the big
Which is a shame because they've had a good month. Really good month.
Yeah,
good 6 weeks.
And it almost, I mean, it does matter what happens between now and the end, but it almost doesn't. You know, we've seen enough of what they're building. So the other question around the Cats, obviously, is, as you said, when Jeremy Cameron comes back, whether Reece Stanley or Asava.
And Mitch Duncan might come back as well, Marty? Or does he
I think
late?
They're less confident that he'll come back in the home and away, that he could come back.
So is he, so to go right back to Jared's first question, is Sean Higgins in the best 22? Maybe not if all those players are back, if Duncan's back.
Alana Kennedy has just scored for Australia, so the Matildas have gone 1-0 up on Great Britain in the quarterfinals at the Olympics. Which is terrific. That's for Chemist Warehouse. Suns and the Demons. So the Demons, again, you wouldn't expect anything less than a victory for them. Isaac Rankin's a big call, but I think a good call.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had to go.
He had to go, didn't he?
But they've got to either reinvent him or with a different role, or he's got to find the footy because he hasn't been finding the footy.
Does the Daniel Rioli comparison...
Well, I actually
maybe
last
suggested
week
he could play at half back.
Yeah, I suggested last week when I was in uproar about how bad their second half was, doing the game, he reminds me of a Gavin Wanganeen.
Yeah.
So he could go to the back pocket, he could go to the back flank, get him behind the ball, because he's the kid that had all the flair, but he just cannot find the footy at the present time.
And would he be that player at a better club, though? Does he need to go to a better club with better players around him to become that player?
I don't think so, Dwayne, because he was doing it in his first 8 weeks.
He was.
In a worse Suns team. He's just forgotten.
He was still trying to do the phenomenal and not do the basics quite a
bit. Yeah, he can't do anything at the moment because he can't get the ball. But I believe he's committed. I've spoken to them during
the
week.
I've got no doubt whether he's committed. I'm just asking the question, if he was at a better club, would he be a better player?
Has he just lost confidence?
I don't know. You know, I just wonder whether or not he's been structured out of getting a kick. Mm. You know, you got to do this. The ball's over there, you go over there. Just let the kid play.
Yeah. No, that's a very interesting question. Collingwood, 16th versus the Eagles, 7th. They play for the second time. Obviously, there's a lot of history since the 2018 grand final between these two sides. Dom Sheed normally turns up and does wonderful things and impacts Collingwood. That wasn't the case in the final last year. It was one of their great wins, probably their last great win in a way, wasn't it, the Pies?
How do you know what you're going to get with Collingwood? Mm. You don't really know at the moment, do you?
No, we did.
They were impressive last week. Yeah. Without winning, they were impressive. Ball movement was the best I've seen Collingwood move the ball since they nearly won the premiership in 2018.
Should they have gone back to Hoskin Elliott at Main and Thomas? Obviously, Jeremy Howe fit is an absolute certainty, but should the other three kids have played, do you think? Or other three players have played ahead of kids? Not that there are too many missing out, but... Tohill and Caleb Poulter are the two that have been left out, and Nathan Murphy.
Well, I saw both Tohill and Poulter. I thought Poulter probably a bit stiff to miss out. Tohill not so stiff. But when you've got Pendlebury out of the side injured, you probably want to have some more senior bodies there.
All right. Jack Redden and Jack Petrocelli return to boost the Eagles, who just need to win everything they can. They've got a couple of big matches to come. I think they've got Melbourne and Brisbane before the season finishes. Essendon and Sydney. Sydney would be strong favourites here, you would think, against the Bombers.
I say danger game for Sydney.
Do you? Yeah.
Essendon have been really poor the last 2 weeks. Should have been beaten by North.
They've dropped a few, haven't they? They've dropped Hooker and Ham. Yep.
They were poor last week, really poor. And they were poor against North Melbourne, but fell in, didn't work hard enough. And I think the coaches said, well, bugger this, I'm going to make a statement.
Yep. They're suffering in Noosa at the moment, the Bombers. And that's...
So the game's at the Gabba as well. So
it's a road trip.
Yeah, they're going to... Another road trip. The next four games, though, are scheduled to be in Melbourne. I think Marvel to end it for Essendon. So, I mean, what are you going to get from Essendon? Are they still a contender?
Well, they may make the eight, but obviously they're clearly not a contender.
No, not a contender for the flag. Contender for the eight.
Yeah, but it depends how tired they are. It depends whether they collectively have run their race and all the travel has got to them or not. But we'll soon see. Just quickly through the Sunday games and more the Sunday teams. Connor Nash is in for Hawthorn. Cousins injured. Kaczynski has been rested. David Robertson is the only in at this stage for the Brisbane Lions. Then you have the Giants and Port Adelaide. Toby Green returns, James Peatling to make his debut for the Giants. Tanner Bruin has been omitted. Adam Kennedy is injured. Jake Riccardi left out. He was the unused sub last week. Horatio Fantasia returns for Mays and Woodcock at this stage.
Do you reckon anybody will come for Riccardi next year?
Why wouldn't you? I think he's got an upside. Yeah, I agree with you there.
He seems to be not getting enough games,
to, I guess, make his home at the Giants. So, gee, if I was someone even like Sydney who needed another key defender, I'd
be
chasing.
Mark Williams coached him as well, so would Melbourne be a contender? I know that they've got an unusual mix of forwards that can play forward.
That
or
could be another. They'd have another one for another us to variable. Debate as to who's not going to be in the team.
But Mark Williams was his coach, so that could be an option as well.
Josh Tracy, Toby Watson, Joel Weston come in for Fremantle, Connor Blakey, Nat Fyfe, Alex Pearce, Michael Walters. It's a solid injury list, isn't it, for Freo? They play Richmond, Dion Peristia, his return is confirmed, and Marlon Pickett has been managed. Does anyone give Freo a chance in that one?
I've been wrong about Freo all year. When they when I tip them, they win. When I don't, they lose. So, or the reverse, no.